I'm John Batchelor with my colleague and friend David Livingston, Dr. Space of The Space Show, and we're very, very pleased to give an unlimited budget to Professor of Planetary Science, Richard Binzel. Richard, anything you want. Doesn't have to be asteroids, doesn't have to be Earth. Where are you taking us, Richard?
Well, John, I'm a practical guy. I think what I would want to do is establish a competitive NASA program. Call it the Planetary Defense Competition. And we're talking a few hundred million dollars a year. That's real money from real taxpayers. But what it would do is we would allow the best and the brightest to compete for missions that would continue to discover asteroids that are coming near the Earth, and then begin to learn how to defend ourselves from them. But even more importantly, how can we use them? You know, we often talk about asteroids as foes, but I think in the long term, the asteroids are our friends. The asteroids are friends, not foes, because they may be used as space resources for water, for thirsty astronauts, for metals and minerals and materials to build things in space. Having things in space, using things in space means you don't have to launch them off the Earth's surface. And so I think there are a lot of new and emerging ideas that are out there waiting to come. I'd like to seed those ideas and really build a space future or a space economy for the 22nd century.
A question about what I've read, that there's a possibility that we could corral asteroids and change their orbits to make them useful as mineral resources. Did I read the wrong science fiction novel that time, Richard, or is that real?
I think it's science fiction. I think actually corralling an asteroid is pretty tough. You know, the good thing about these little asteroids is they have so little gravity, and many of them come near the Earth anyway. Many of these are easier to reach arrive at and come back to Earth with less rocket fuel than it takes to go to the surface of the moon and back. And so we don't need too many miracles to begin to utilize these asteroids as space resources. You know, it's a risky investment. I think it's still premature to invest in asteroid mining myself. Futuristically, I think it's something we'll see in it. And maybe our great-grandchildren. But I think it's a possibility in the next century, probably not this century, but it's probably a century away.
David?
Given what you would like to do with your unlimited budget, if you were invited to pitch this to a congressional hearing, how would you explain this to them?
I would explain it as the space economy of the next century, that it is going to be important for national interest and international interest that we learn how to use resources in space as we, you know, naturally exhaust or use up resources on Earth. And so it's a matter of long-term survival, just as King and Ferdinand and Queen Isabella sent ships to go sail across the ocean and discover new things. It's going to be time for us to invest in this kind of space exploration to find new lands and new opportunities in space.
What I'm struck by, Professor, the meeting that you're having at Tokyo University, how that this is absent the contentious politics that are practiced every day between the capitals of the Earth. It looks very much like everybody wants to participate in this without prejudice in any fashion about competing countries. Is that in your lifetime, because you have experienced the 20th century and the 21st? Is this something new that space engineering works together no matter where they come from?
Space exploration has always been rather cooperative, except, you know, who's going to land first on the moon. But, you know, you can go back to the Apollo-Soyuz mission. And when it comes to astronomy in general and planetary defense, an asteroid headed toward the Earth doesn't care about any borders anywhere. And I think we all realize that. And so that's why we see this as a collaborative effort. These international organizations now through the United Nations that are involved in assessing and planning possible asteroid defense missions are relatively new in the past 10 years, but the international collaborative interest has been there for as long as I've been involved in this field, and it goes back several decades. So, as I said, an asteroid doesn't care where it lands, doesn't care about any borders, and I think we all respect that.
Apophis, T-minus 4 years at Tokyo University, April 9 and 10. This is Hotel Mars. David Livingston and I thank very much the professor to help us understand where we are, anticipating a bright future with no asteroid strikes similar to what happened 65 million years ago. This is Hotel Mars, Episode N. I'm John Besh.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,